Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. John 7, beginning at verse 25. "Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is this not he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is or where he's from. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is or where he's from." Heavenly Father, please help us today. I believe that you have something for us. And I beg that you'd somehow enable me to preach what I believe you've given to me. Give us ears to hear. As Paul talked about, enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Please speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So this passage, and I'll end up in verse 39.
What chapter?
Chapter 7 of John. And we started at verse 25. But as you read these verses, you'll find that there's conflict. The next section, we'll see some of that. But in verse 25, people were talking and they said, "Isn't this Jesus, the one whom the Pharisees are trying to have killed?" And there was a controversy. We know who he is, but we don't know if this is the one. We're not sure. And in verse 28, "Then Jesus cried in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me and know where I'm from. I didn't come from myself or by myself or of myself, but he that sent me, God the Father in heaven, is true. But then he says, Whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me." Again, conflict. This was not a church service. This was in the marketplace, or I don't know exactly where, but there were a lot of people around, and they were talking and what have you, trying to figure out what's going on. And he hears all of it. The people asking the questions are there. The Pharisees are there. They're the ones that are trying to take out a contract on the Lord. And he's in the middle of it and says, "You know who I am. And you know where I came from." He said, "You know that I'm the Messiah. And you know that I came from God." But then he says, "I am not come of myself. I'm not down here doing what I want. This is not my ministry. Like so many on TV say, it's my ministry. It's not. But this is the Lord himself, God come in the flesh." And he says, "It's not my ministry." Well, yes it is, right? He's the one that died for the sins of the world. But he says, "I didn't come of myself. It's not about me," Jesus said. Well, obviously it is. But he didn't have the idea of, "Hey, look at me." Now, certainly we need to look at him, and I've touched on this before. But he says, "I didn't come of myself, but he that sent me is true. I'm doing God's will," he said. And again, he would die for the sins of the world. He would rise from the dead. But it wasn't his idea to come do it. He was sent by the Father. And there's a number of scriptures we could go over, a lot of them in John, that say that, hey, look at the works that Jesus is doing. It's obvious that this is the work of God. Yes, we look to the Lord. Yes, the whole focal point of the Bible is Jesus Christ. But Jesus, his job was to get people reconciled to God the Father. I am not come of myself. But God sent me. But then in verse 28, the last phrase of it, he says, but you don't even know who God is. Now, some of that was directed at the Pharisees. But some of that phrase was directed at everyone on the street. They knew a lot about God. Some had a relationship with God. But this is God come in the flesh. The one that, and I've said it three or four times now, that would die for the sins of the world. They didn't understand that. Again, there's this conflict. There's, well, we don't quite know, and they're trying to puzzle it out. And the people that are about ready to take a contract out on the Lord are standing there, and he's back and forth with the people and with the Pharisees. And of course, that made him mad. And in verse 30, it says, then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him. Nobody grabbed him, because his hour was not yet come. They were going to take him, and later did. 30 pieces of silver, whatever. They later did it. Well, if he dies then, when it's recorded, or he dies a year or two before, whenever John 7 happened, well, he dies, right? Isn't it the same? Well, it's not the same thing. He had to die a specific way. It said that there are 500 prophecies that were fulfilled in a 24-hour period. Those had to be fulfilled. It's not just that he got the Pharisees mad and they had enough and they grabbed him and they, whatever. It's his hour, his time was not yet come. But then in verse 32, and many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ comes, will he do more miracles than these which this man has done? Again, we mentioned that the miracles testify of him. It said in one place that the certain miracle that was done, it was never recorded in the Old Testament that that kind of miracle had ever been performed. And miracles for Jesus, they happened every day. Sometimes, and we can, for instance, look in Matthew, I taught on this in another venue, they would hear that he's in the boat, he's going to go to that side, or whatever the case, and they ran around the side of the lake, telling people, hey, he's coming, we think he's going to land in that town. And they'd gather a crowd. And by the time he made it, I don't know how long it takes to go across the Sea of Galilee. I don't know, let's say an hour. However long it takes to row. Then by the time he got there to that town where they kind of figured, okay, he's going to land there, they had a crowd of people. And it wasn't just one person. It was hundreds of people that were miraculously healed. And those kind of events happened again. And again, and again. And you get the idea as you study those chapters that he's the answer. He is the answer. And people should and did come to him and look to him and want to be with him and want more of him in their lives. in verse 31 here, and many of the people believed on him. And that got the Pharisees, man, they couldn't stand it. Verse 32, the Pharisees heard the people saying those things. And the Pharisees and chief priests sent officers to take him. But again, his hour was not yet come. And Jesus said unto them, yet a little while, just a little bit longer, a year or two, however long it was, I don't know exactly where in the chronology that John 7 is. Maybe it was just a month or two before the crucifixion, I don't know. I guess I could study, maybe the people that write all the commentaries know, I don't know. But we know from verse 30 that it wasn't just yet. He said, a little while I am with you, and then I go to him that sent me. And he's from God, and he went the way of the cross and the tomb, but then he rose up, and then we understand on the day of ascension, Acts chapter 1, he went back to heaven. I'm with you a little while, and I'm going to go back to God. You shall seek me, you're going to look for me, and shall not find me. And where I am, you can't go there. Again, he's in heaven, and until we die, or until the rapture, we can't go. But it says that people would seek him and not be able to find him. Now, we know the story, we know where he's at, but there's a, hey, he's what we want. Hey, let's run to the town where he's going to be. Let's go be healed. Oh, he's going to be teaching next Saturday night. Let's go here. But then it speaks of him going back to God and people not being able to find him. And let me say, we need to seek him today. Now, we know the story. We know he's in heaven. But we need to seek him. Sadly, most do not. And there's a little bit dialogue. I want to jump to verse 37, though. In all of those verses, I guess 11 verses to get to verse 37, first off, I wanted to give context, but more than that, or further than that, these verses show the cry of men's hearts. And also it shows that God cares for the sinner. God cares for those that are struggling because he sent his son. But in the last day, verse 37, that great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, you can find that in verse 2 of this chapter, it says, Jesus stood and cried or yelled, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scriptures, the Old Testament said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And there's another verse. I'll get to that in a second, but let me give some explanation. The Feast of Tabernacles. There are, I think, seven feasts. You can study them. Together they tell the gospel story. We understand the day of Passover. It pictures Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that died for the sin of the world. Don't want to go over all seven of them. Don't really want to talk about this one so much. But on the last day of that feast, a couple of days it was, however long it was, the last thing they did pretty much, the priest or whoever it was would have a little ceremony and he would pour water, and I don't know the details. But they would pour water, and it was a sacrifice or what have you for the Gentiles. Jesus, he said that he didn't go to the Gentiles, wasn't sent to the Gentiles, but to the lost sheep of Israel. But if you go in Exodus, I think it's chapter 11 or 12, it talks about the Passover. And it says that, hey, don't forget to set a place at the Passover feast for the stranger among you. Gentiles. But at this last little ceremony, as the priest is pouring and the people are looking, what have you, Jesus, at the top of his voice, yells, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, what have you. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, what have you. There's a continual call, a continual, if you want to say, altar call throughout Scripture. Hey, come to God. He's the answer. Come to God. But it's interesting that there were seven feasts, and this one, this Day of Tabernacles, at any time during the 2 or 3 days, Jesus could have said that. He could have said, hey, come to me. But on the ceremony that had to do with, oh yeah, those Gentiles, the people that ain't Jews, the ones we look down on, he stands up and says, hey, if any man thirst, come to me and drink. Again, he's the answer. He's the answer. I see two things here. If anybody's thirsty, if anybody's tired of themselves, tired of life, despairs of life, whatever, look to God. Any number of things that you could be tired of, any number of reasons why you might want God, but hey, come to God. But you see God come in the flesh saying, hey, come to me. You've got both sides of that coin. Come to me and drink. And if you believe on me, it says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's sometimes misused. It doesn't mean out of you. It means out of Christ. If you're thirsty, there's a river of water, living water, it comes from Christ. Drink of him. Again, it's, as the scripture said, in Exodus, I believe, chapter 17, the people had come out of Egypt. They had gone through the Red Sea. Just a couple of days after that, they were thirsty. And they were in the desert, and it was 3.5 million people. I've said this before. Everybody knows somebody that was in one of the Gulf Wars, or Iraq, or Afghanistan. Everybody knows somebody that could tell you, man, it's hot over there, right? I'm a computer guy. It's what I do for a living. One of the companies I've worked for, it's a data center. If you have a bunch of computers, bunch of servers, computer on your desk, laptop, that's fine, but a server's special. It's really high performance, and it needs to be cool. We have a data center, or had a data center, whatever, in Saudi Arabia. And we had to get on them to tell them, hey, quit turning the air conditioner off. You would kind of think, man, I've been in the desert all my life. I'd like to go in there and be cool for once. But they go to work on the machines, and it was too cold. They're wearing coats. And they turn them off. And you get a computer over 90 degrees for too long, and it begins to fail. My point, it's hot over there, right?
It's dry. 3.5 million people, the Jews, come out of Egypt. They were thirsty. Moses goes to God, says, what do I do? God says, hey, take your shepherd's staff, go to the side of that mountain and hit it. And out of that rock flowed water, enough for 3.5 million people to take a bath if they wanted. And all the flocks and herds, they were satisfied. A river, a stream in the desert, it says in Isaiah. A river in the desert's pretty good, right? Yeah. On a hot day, I'm walking out, what have you, man, I got to go get a drink of water. I live in America. Most of America is not a desert. You go out west, whatever, but we got shrubs and trees and it rains every few days, but it's hot and I want a drink of water. He said, if any man thirsts, the soul without God is like a desert, and he's the only one that will satisfy the soul. But again, on the last day of that feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, during the ceremony for the Gentiles, he says, hey, if any man, not just the ones that were listening, not the ones in the temple, but the cry goes out to the whole earth all throughout time. Hey, come to me. That's why we send missionaries. That's why we do everything we can to preach. I know people that preach in closed countries. Closed as if they get too loud, they'll be put to death. Used to be, decades prior, I guess you could go to a Christian bookstore and find all kind of books about missionaries. Adoniram Judson, if you're Baptist, I can name a few. I know missionaries from the Assemblies of God that were in India, in Africa, and other places. The missionary, I've said this, gives up his car, his other car, his air conditioning, his good food, says goodbye to all his friends for years at a time and goes in a completely foreign place and gives of himself. And suffers and gets sick and there ain't no doctor. He suffers trying to preach the gospel. I'm going to get right back to that, but let's look at verse 30. He says, come to me and drink. And out of Christ shall flow rivers of living water. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it says, that rock that followed them was Christ. The rock that Moses took his stick and whacked it and water came out, that rock was Christ. A picture of Christ. But it says he was talking about the Holy Ghost. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. And we talked about this last time, but for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, as of John chapter 7, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He had to go to the cross, rise from the dead, go to heaven. And then the Spirit was sent, fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. But the Holy Ghost, and we kind of touched on it last time, was given to the church to indwell the believer, to be with the believer. There's two things mainly. To indwell the Christian, to help the Christian live right, to illuminate his mind, to illuminate his spirit, that the Word of God would jump off the page and mean something to him. And then he says, well, I ought to stop going to the bars and doing all that stuff. The Spirit gives you power to live for God, to indwell, but also to empower, to help us to live right, but then to tell somebody else. But the water was poured out for the Gentiles. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1 through 4. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax will he not quench, till he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. That describes Jesus Christ. He is the Christ.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.